The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Our Father, we thank you because you will bless us again today. In Jesus' name. We have been looking at a very interesting subject, and I would like to come into that subject from Psalm 103. Psalm 103 verse 19. I would like to come into that subject from that place. The Lord had prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. The Lord has prepared His throne. Okay. And when you hear His throne, it's good to know that this throne is the present arrangement, and that this throne is not the arrangement of the world to come. So let's read this present arrangement. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, verse 22, all the works, His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So in this present arrangement, O my soul is the last. I think that is Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 23. Above the firmament, there was the form of the Son of God. Now, there is a heaven that is arranged like this. There is another heaven that has a different arrangement. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight one toward the other. Everyone had two, with which he covered his side, and everyone had two with which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their head when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. It takes a prophetic eye to see what they are describing. In fact, to even know this thing is existing. Because what David saw in Psalm 103 was not this. Now, what Ezekiel saw was another throne higher than Psalm 103. And that throne had the form of a man sitting on it. Are you with me, brethren? Psalm 103, you saw God has set His dominion, His throne in this manner. Prepared His throne in this heaven, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, all, bless the Lord, ye His angels. So he began to describe a life under the firmament. There's a firmament that they put the cherubims under. You know that our world, our earth, is under a firmament. Genesis chapter 1. God separated the waters from the water and lifted the water. The entire place was filled with water. God came and put a separation between and lifted a body of water upward and created a firmament with it. And then to this place and called forth the earth and moved the waters. So what God did was that he tilted the landscape. So we have uphill, we have below sea level for waters to be there and for earth crust to appear. Do you understand that drama? I'm talking now like a movie director. So imagine it. God came and divided the water and lifted the body upward. But there was still so much water here. God now tilted the earth and pushed the water somewhere and called that place, which is lower, which is below. They called the place below sea level. Waters moved somewhere. He called them sea. Then earth crust appeared. Did you follow me? We must think scripture. It's the burden of this, of the burden of they that follow the Lord. We must use our mind. We have used our mind to think money. We must use our same mind to think scripture. We have used the mind to think and get certificates from men. We'll use the mind to think and get eternal life. Amen. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So now, that happened. So there is a firmament over us. So also in the world of the cherubims, there's also a firmament. So you see, we live here. The reason you and I cannot lift our head and see life beyond our firmament is the fall. Is the fall. Actually, what David did was by the prophetic spirit. He lifted up his eyes and saw that there was life beyond the firmament. Then he began to describe the life. So David was describing a life directly above our firmament. And that is from here, which is, oh my soul, he saw it. And the farthest he could see was the angels. The throne of God, the angels. But God took Ezekiel into a vision and showed him a life beyond the firmament that is above the cherubims. What I said now is clear to us. Now, he saw a throne. Now, that throne, Jesus was referring to that place as the realm of the above. So he that is from above is above all. Jesus did not come from the realm of the heaven of the angels. That is a sphere of throne for the creatures of God. Jesus is not a creature in that like that way. Jesus is God. He is the word from the beginning that became flesh and dwelt among us. Are you getting me? So, Jesus came from the realm above. So, he said, he that is above all. He didn't come from amidst cherubims. Michael, Gabriel, no. No. So, when he returned, they had a chance to see what God is like. So that they worshipped him. It was a chance. It was to see what God has made out of a man. Now God can be seen because they had worshipped God but never had seen God. Jesus testified that no man had ever seen God at any time. But he that came from the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Are you getting me now? So Jesus came from somewhere. So when he embodied God, and God said, let all angels worship him. It was a chance for heaven and earth to witness what God looks like. Because they had never seen God at any time. Did you get up to that point? Good. So I'm just trying to establish that there was a heaven or a dominion that David described in Psalm 103, 19 to 22. It's different from the one they showed Ezekiel in Ezekiel 1. 21 to 26, 27. Okay, so you find that life is existing somewhere, but cherubims had no access to that life. Are you with me? That is the place Lucifer was saying. So there is a way they had clue of the life there. They knew something was there. They themselves, if they could bring Ezekiel to see, they were seeing it. I said the reason we are not easily raising our head and see that arrangement is the fall. If you know what the fall did to us, If you know what the fall did to us, you needed to be a prophet to have an inkling of what is there. But we were all meant to be prophets. God said that I will that the whole house of Israel were prophets. So he said, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. We were all meant to be prophets. And prophet means that we are all meant to easily lift up our head and see God and fellowship the realm and see the realm above and fellowship with God. That's how we're meant to be. So what David was describing, okay, was because David was a prophet. Or they call them son of men, son of man. I get what I'm trying to say. Now, let's get back to Isaiah chapter 14. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. What is the cloud there? The firmament. I will be like the Most High. He was seeing that place. And Ezekiel saw that it was like the image of a man that is there. You know that they themselves too are men. They are men. They are men. But they are not our kind of men. So God is also a man. A kind of a man. If we are made in the image and likeness of God, you can follow the thoughts. So they call him the man Gabriel. He's a man. What did they say about Lucifer? That at the end of the day, men will narrowly look on him and say, is this the man? So he's a man. But so what God created are men, but giving life expressions of different kinds. What God created are what? Men, but with life expressions of different kinds. And their life expression determines their sphere of occupation. Habitat is determined by who should inhabit it. And whether you possess the structure, the apparatus, our body is the suit for here. This is our earth suit. It's our body. So if angels come here, they are not visible. Except your eyes are enhanced to see them. Angels are in our meetings. You feel them. Okay? But they don't come and dabaru and carry chair turn upside down so that they can see that we're here. They just aid what God is doing among us. You just realize that there's enlightenment. There's understanding. Yeah, they aided your heart. I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say. Go back to Isaiah 14 verse 13. Are you with me? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. Where do you say we are sent to? Where are they? They are in heaven. For us, they are in heaven. And so when you say, we'll go to heaven, you are thinking of their heaven because they have described so much of their heaven in Bible. But the person in heaven said that we are sent to heaven. So there is a heaven that is higher than their heaven. The Lord has to open our eyes. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So, it means that Psalm 103 verse 19 is not only just the throne of God. The throne of God is all of those things are also having thrones. And all that put together is called throne of God. So, this guy had a throne. And other cherubims also had thrones. Michael had a throne. Gabriel had a throne. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Who are the stars of God? They are the sons of God. Job told us. He said, where were you? Where the sons of God sang their first song. Okay? I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He's describing something in the heaven that is above him. So they can look up because of their structure of make, their fiber, and see a heaven. But they don't have access to that heaven. I said that it is the fall that makes us look up. And only see cloud. You raise your head, you see only cloud. That thing is the fall. For them, they can look up and see, though there is a firmament, which spells a limitation, which spells that you can't come up here. Okay? They can look up and see the firmament, but they see beyond the firmament that there's a heaven above them. And that they can know that the heaven have territories. There's a place called the sides of the north, which is where the throne where the throne of God is sitting. Are you getting me? Yes, so a whole lot is known by them. that when God begins to enlighten us, Jesus also wants us to be enlightened. That when you are sitting down there, you know that there's a heaven above you. And you know that this heaven above you is the heaven of angels. That it's not the one you are going to. There's a heaven you are going to. And it's an understanding, as God, as we are describing like this, that you are getting an idea of what God has in his thoughts. Because his thoughts are higher than the thoughts of any man. Are you with me, brethren?
Yes, sir.
This present arrangement of God's dominion is actually meant to aid man to become what can ascend and sit on the throne, which is higher than the heaven of these angels. How God structured this massive thing, because he wanted to create one little thing, and then said, I created this big one to harvest this one to come up. Can you see the value God is putting on us? But we may not see the value. Why? We are consumed with the okra and the pomo and the manla fish and the ogiri. Yesterday, God's servant was explaining, waiting the cucumber and garlic. When I read those things, actually, I wondered, is it not the same cucumber we are eating now? Is there another cucumber? Is there something they used to call cucumber then? That maybe we don't know. Is there something they call garlic then? And somebody will say, if we did Egypt now, if I don't chop cucumbers this morning now, if I don't chop garlic, and somebody's rejoined that I would have eaten it, I would have eaten onion by, onion of Egypt. Moses, no go better for you. Onion of Egypt. 2 years, I never chop onion for Egypt. I can't even imagine. Egypt onion. Like, it's so big onion. What can a slave be describing? It's like you eating Maggi today, an African person, a Nigerian guy, eating Maggi today and going away feeling like the soup is sweet. You don't know that the Maggi was invented because your fathers were slaves and that their soup was not tasty. That their masters invented it to cook large pot of soup and give it an aroma of chicken. So they give chicken flavor, chicken taste that does not contain chicken. Now, many years down the line, we have been free, but we are not still free from the slavery, even in our food. That there was a generation that ate chicken and not chicken flavor. Hey, you didn't hear what I said? There was a generation that ate chicken. They didn't eat chicken flavor. Today now you will go and bring chicken and use Maggi to sweeten the chicken. The chicken self no get chicken flavor again. You don't buy chicken these days. You kill them. Chicken no smell like chicken. It be like when you young that time. For people way young that time. Later on people call you young like anointed. They don't know that time. When you young that time, they can't be cooking chicken with onion. Only chicken and onion inside it. The whole house is feeling like Now you need to put Maggi to flavor chicken. Before that time, a chicken meat water then today. God have mercy. So you see that these people were dragging food of slaves and using it to compare manna, food of angels. There's no place of comparison. God looked this up and said, Moses, go this side, make I kill these people. Moses, I beg. Just shift first, make I see as it go be. Man, just test something first. Just shift, make a quick test something. Moses, Baba, that way won't test that jaw. If you test them, people for Egypt go to, he carried them cross, he couldn't bring them in. Because of the hardness of their heart. What God's thought is about us is so high that he only wants us to understand it, then embrace what I have put in place to make you become it. Then we will become it. Frankly, we'll become it. And I believe we'll become it. If God wants to raise a man and put a man on that throne, God is because God wants to see himself beside himself. God wants to see himself sitting beside himself. That you would think, but he's the creator of everything. He should go and create himself again. No. He has finished creation. Genesis told us that God made an end of creation. God has finished creation. But God has put something in creation, a law in creation among men, not among angels. among men. It is that law that God is operating by. He is the creator of angels. And when he was done creating angels, God is not creating more angels. God has created all the angels he will create. Let me tell us, angels don't give birth. So there's no baby angel. There's no big angel, tall angel, small angel. I saw a baby angel following my little baby. There's no baby angel. Angel is angel. They are created in full stature, fullness. Are you getting me? Like Adam did not become a toddler. Adam came out as a full-grown man. That's how God made angels, full stature. Are you with me, brethren? Now, if God wants now to create a man that can sit beside him on the throne, with him on the throne, God is going to use a law that he put among men called procreation or the law of betting. The law of betting is put in the law of seed. The law of what? In the law of seed. The law of seed. Give me Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. Take note of it, this earth bring forth. The first one is what? Grass. Grass no get seed. Second one is what? Herb yielding seed. The third one is what? And the fruit tree. Fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. That is the structure of God's betting process. That's the last one. I have concerns. When you want to treat malaria and you go and take agbo that you take, herbs that you cook, that does not contain seed, is I have a concern with that thing. Because that grass was never meant to be food for man. Was never meant to be cure for man. Follow me. Oh. Grass was never meant to be food or cure for man. Grass should be food and cure for animals. We are going to read it very soon. Go to verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for what? It shall be for what? So when you are eating anything less than this that does not have seed inside it, there's already a problem. There's already a problem. And many of the sicknesses we have come because we ate some of these things. I'm sorry, I'm not a dietitian. But go and check your research. God gave animals to eat herb. But the fall brought us to where we are now eating grass. It doesn't look like eating grass when you are packing grass together and using it to cure your body. You are eating grass, Ogami. That is the fall. Human flesh was meant to be sustained by fruit-bearing trees that have seed inside them. That have what? Seed inside them. Because it's a kind of a man. A man should have seed. So God also wants to have seed. When God wanted to deal with Lucifer, what did he tell him? He said the seed of the woman will bruise your head. Seed is everything to God. Seed, sir, is everything. The place where God put the magic wand, sir, is inside seed. So Elder Bayo cannot see himself except he donates seed to his wife. That's the only way Elder can see himself growing up beside him. I'll be looking at it, ah, that's me. When that guy do like that, he say, ah, blood is strong. All that he's describing is seed. That is where God put that mystery. Are you getting me? So God put it there because it's the way it is in God. What I'm describing for you now, angels don't know that technology. They cannot procreate. God put that technology among men because he wants to Batman. Are you with me? He wants to do what? He wants to Batman. If God wants to give birth to us, God is going to run through the same technology. Seed. He must bring forth a seed. Now, seed can be created. God shows us that. And for me, that's the subject of my discourse with us this morning. The creation of the seed that can worship God or that can sit on the throne. The creation of the seed that can sit on the throne. Hallelujah. So the church program and project is all about God, first of all, having a seed. So now, God is in a laboratory. And that laboratory is the holy place. That laboratory is what, church? The holy place is God's laboratory where he puts together his seed. His seed is such that it can have all the attributes of God when it comes out. So when a man donates his seed to his wife, his seed will go through a gestation period. Then the man will appear as a child. The man will appear how? As a child and grow to see his father. So also with God. Christ, when you say Christ, is the seed that God is looking for from the church. Christ is what? The seed. There is no other kind of seed that God trusts that can be in the womb of God and come out. They call that womb of the morning. Eh? There's only one kind of seed that they can plant in that womb that can come out and carry all the attributes of God. Now, today we do IVF. Follow my thoughts. We get it. We do what? IVF. When we want to do IVF, what do the doctors do? They pick a seed from the man and then they put it under the microscope and confirm that the seed is healthy. It's viable, it's healthy, it has proper traits. I guess what I'm trying to say? That can reproduce and become a healthy child. Because we can't spend so much money to do IVF and then the seed will now come out and the boy does not have leg. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So when they check at seed level, they can know if the boy can develop ears, if the boy can talk, if the boy can have a black complexion. They can. Do you know that they can sort it at that level, sir? They can sort genotype. They can make a man and a woman who have ASAS to donate a seed and sort it out and pick AA. They can even pick the sex. We want a boy. They can pick it. Bro. So, if man has come to the place where he can take seed that is so tiny and invisible, tiny, put it and magnify it and be looking at the traits, then how much more God? Are you with me this morning? What God is doing with Christ, doing with us in Christ, is that he's ensuring that all the needed ingredients to make us a viable seed is put into us. So that God can plant us and go away. He just knows you will grow. When that doctor has finished sorting, we want the child to be fair. We want it to be a boy. We want the child to be tall. We don't want him short. Because they can determine it at the point of seed selection. They can determine height, color, sex. Are you getting me? We can even determine if we want the boy to sing or not. Yes, we can determine that we want the child to be brilliant. Give us a very brilliant seed. Don't pick one that came from Ibotako. We want the one in Benin City. You know what I'm trying to say? Our family has been moving, but that time we were in that place. We have journeyed. Here is where we are. They can pick a seed that when the boy comes out, it goes sweet. If mama go, they carry a mango sweet. If papa go say, I say, hey, oh boy, yo, technology. That is how far man has gone. How much more God? So God creates circumstances around us to sort us. It's not everybody that I say, many are called, few are chosen. Look at even the natural birth process. A man donates millions of seed to his wife. God has put structures in the womb of the woman that selects a healthy one. So the sperm head starts. Some of them are trapped there over ambition.
Some are too fast. They go jam one rock for that side and die. The other one, they go gently. He go to see the trouble. He go say, hey, I don't go that side. I go here. Yeah. Three don't go that side. 300 don't go that side. Say, my heart tells me saying I hear be good. The guy get intuition. He get intelligence. A spam seed. He get spirit. He they pick him. Ha! And that way he go soon die. He go. I don't say he go die. They don't announce obituary. The guy they travel until he finally arrive. Hey, this is the egg. He look back. No him remain. He enter. He say conception has occurred. God put it in nature to tell us that God they sort seed. Seed is what they use God's laboratory, holy place, to create out of a man. So when a man can get certain core ingredients that makes the seed viable, God is happy. One of those core ingredients that God wants to make sure is worked into that seed is called spirit of meekness. If that seed does not have spirit of meekness, if you plant it, it will die. If that seed does not have what? Spirit of meekness is a trait among of the spirits of God. But it's a core trait. If it's not there, that seed will die. That seed can never cross the breakthrough, the metrics called the doors of everlasting life. Psalm 24. Read from verse 7. Amen. We are being blessed already. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. This is a barricade, though. This is a barricade. And be lifted up, ye everlasting what? A seed that does not have meekness cannot cross everlasting doors. There it will meet this barricade over and over and over. Testing something. They are doing what, brethren? They are checking out if it is really the seed of God. And the King of Glory shall come in. Verse 8. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Verse 9. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. This one is not like the first one. This under one. So is it an ingredient they will check over and over? So this guy must have this ingredient. What is that ingredient in your seed, sir? That the rat goes to eat inside your corn. What's it called? Quickly search for me. Are you with me? We are learning something. That particular thing carries the full future.
Thank you.
Endosperm. That is what every rodent wants to eat in a seed. So when you meet rats, give him one bag of maize. He will go and eat up all the endosperm. Pick it up. Put a bag of beans. What weevil goes to eat is not... You will see the rest of the beans. Interestingly, when they remove that endosperm, you go cook the beans, you don't go soft. Have you observed it? It's like they took the life of the beans away. And the rest, now just mortuary right there. If you cook the beans, cook them from now to tomorrow, the beans will not be soft. They have taken away what makes it be soft. So it is that thing that is the meekness of that beans. If you cook it, sir, God don't put everything we want to talk inside nature. If you command that thing from inside beans, cook the beans till tomorrow, it no go soft. Have you ever eaten cooked beans that weevil ate?
Yes.
You can bear witness that it doesn't get soft. Can never be soft. The meekness has gone. I say God wants to make a man a seed. Now he will be building things into us. Before he's done building and call you a seed, he must build in one more thing called a spirit of meekness. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 21 is called the spirit of meekness. What will he? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? So there's something called love.
when they build love into a man's heart, they are not done until they build the love to spirit of meekness. Look at Galatians chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1. Hallelujah. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, how? In the spirit of meekness. Now, this spirit is a nature. That's why they call it spirit. It's not like Holy Ghost or something. No, it's a nature. Are you getting me? It's called, it's a small s. It's nature. This is what makes every seed of God to germinate, sir. If a seed does not have this nature, God cannot guarantee that you won't die and die fear like that. Jesus was buried and resurrected. Do you know why? He said, come learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. Show me Philippians. Where we're talking of, though he being in fashion of a man, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of servant, and was made in likeness of men. Go on, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what, brethren? He humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Keep going. Wherefore, because he now has meekness, God exalted him and gave him a name above every other name. When you say God exalted him, it means that he can resurrect. God exalted him. That exalted him is describing his resurrection. Jesus could have died and died. Gave other prophet. Moses died and they came to collect his body. Jesus could have died and one angel would be sent to come and carry his body. An angel came and opened the tomb so they could have also come to carry his body. You are not thinking that way. So if he would resurrect, that seed must have meekness. I say meekness is one ingredient that makes the seed to sprout. It's the endosperm, Abby. Endosperm. It's the endosperm in every seed of God. It's called meekness. And that thing moves from Christ to the Father. It must transcend all the journey of a man's walk in the gospel. Meekness. So you see that it is wherefore, upon this premise, that is the wherefore, upon this premise, predicated on this logic, God had no choice but to raise his son. Wow. He has fulfilled all it takes for death not to reign over, for him not to remain in the grave. If he failed one bit of the curse of meekness, he would die and he would die. I started by describing a throne and said that we are not able to envision ourselves as to sit on the throne. It looks like a high thought. But brethren, what is at stake is the throne. The technology God is using to deal with us is the technology of the throne. And the entire concept is to raise a man that can sit on the throne. If a man is not meek, if a man is not broken, if a man is not malleable, tender, gentle, he doesn't have a space on that throne. There's a manner of response that a man, a charity, must have towards God. And it's only the spirit of meekness that describes it, that captures that for God. You can be running around for God, doing everything, kill yourself, burn your body, do everything. If God knows this Siam, you no go sit down for the throne. You won't still be on the throne. Because God doesn't want anybody that will sit. I'm saying Elohim shift now. until finally Lehun fall for ground. That is the nature of man. If you don't have meekness, you can't share this seat with me. You will push me away. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And God wants to share the throne with all of us. Have you watched that children cartoon that say roll over, roll over? It's a very bad cartoon. Don't play for your children. There are 12 of them on the bed. Roll over. He said, tell them roll over. When he roll over, he fall down. The last one at the back is the one singing roll over. At the other edge, he's singing roll over. That one roll. When he roll, he fall come out. Roll over, roll over. The other one roll, he fall come out. Finally, only he come down on top bed. I said, this cartoon is a bad cartoon. No plan for picking. That nature is the nature of a fallen man. Just shift small. Ogami, just shift small. Oga can't shift. Oga can't fall. Ah, Oga don't follow. Oga don't follow. Ah, Oga don't fall now. We collect Oga's seat. We'll balance your bum bum where. God needs to be sure that when he shares his throne with us, nobody will be rolling over. We'll be singing roll over for another person. Are you getting me? That is why in the holy place, you are going to find that you will meet a priest. That priest is called Christ. Jesus Christ is the priest of the holy place. Are you getting me? And his intention, his assignment is to train. He trains by teaching. Priesthood has two things. Advocacy. Described now as sacrifice, offerings, reconciliation. Okay, that's advocacy. Another side of priesthood is teaching. So you find Jesus is a teaching priest. After your cause has been pleaded, and you are now in the holy place, they teach. They teach and they train. The intention of that priesthood is to turn men from sin and from self. It's to turn men from what? Sin and self. A man will not get to the knowledge of life without priesthood. So a priest will teach and break down and break down. Now, priesthood ensures that we learn with intent at heart. I will explain what I mean. You can be learning something and not know why we are teaching you that thing. Sister Wa, at a point, was going to school to get a certificate. Now, having worked several years, she's doing certifications exam to become something. They're not the same thing. You can play with the first level where you don't even know all of us are going to school. We are mambo for school. You did the first degree. You did a WAEC. You pass. You wrote JAMB. You pass. Which school you want to go to? UNIBEN. They put you in school. They pay school fees. That's the level. There we can play. But when you are now done and you now want to do further certifications and you have to pay from your salary, you will not be doing it and playing. There's something in view. If I get this certification, this ICANN certificate, I will become an auditor. I will move from sales. I'll be marketer, not sales girl. Marketer. I will move from marketer to auditor. Are you getting me? And that promotion is a quantum leap, very giant leap. That you see that your salary as a marketer is 600K, 650K. It's nothing. You will be earning 2.7 million. But you see, you have to do the ICANN exam, finish it. Then do 2 years probation with your bank. Then finally get the certificate. Then apply to your bank as an auditor. Kai! And your bank will be happy. Your bank will be happy. Why are they happy? Somebody undertook the voyage to become something with an intent. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, priesthood, the chief priest, teaches us to arrive at the reason for the lesson. Usually, if the soul does not know the reason for the lesson, it does not apply its heart to the lesson. Every time gospel paid you, every time gospel paid a man, the man paid attention because something was at stake. The disciples said, we have left father and mother, everything to follow you. What would we gain?
Do you know the problem we have? We don't often... It's not. I don't think it's because we are young. It's the problem of the fall. We don't often engage God like God wants to give us something. And this is why I came. Why exactly did you come? Is it a car you came looking for? Is it wife you came looking for? Is it child you came looking for? After you've got the car and you have the wife and you have the child, why are you looking for God? There is no man that will sit on the throne who didn't answer that question and get it as God has it in his heart. Every man you will meet on the throne at some point sat down and said, I count as dung that I may win this. Every man you will find on the throne has that story. There's a point where, okay, if Jesus can just heal me, I will serve him for the rest of my life. Thank God Jesus healed you. Ah, I thank God though when I came here, you will appear like you are dedicating the rest of your life. It's just for a short while. Then you'll be asking Jesus, if you can just give me a wife, a good wife that will help me to serve you more. Jesus will give you a wife. Hey, for another 3 months, it's like you love Jesus, die. Then you say, Jesus, if you just give us one son, I'm not asking for two, just one child. Jesus give you. Hey, thank God, though. This gospel is real. This gospel can bless. This gospel can change. That is where all the man of gospel messages came from. God of miracle. He can heal you. He can do this. He can do that. That's where the other schemes came from. But that's not where Jesus is going to. Are you following me? That's not where Jesus is going to. The pastor that was telling Rabbi that you can't be suffering like this and say something is wrong with your salvation. No. Because God knows the punished person. You can't be suffering like you say you're serving God. Like it is from his testimonies. Are you following me? Now, Jesus just wanted you to arrive at a place after he has given you healing, giving you wife, giving you son. Ah, Jesus, see how the rain they beat me and my wife. And this speaking, if you just give us one car, Jesus give you a car. So you have a good job, you bought a good car, you're riding your good car. Jesus, this Jesus. You don't know, you are suffering if you follow my Jesus. Hey, I know my Jesus. The Jesus that I know is enough for me. He's enough for me. And the one is you are saying is enough for you, sir, is the one that gave you a good job, gave you a car. If I picked you from where you were sick, dying in the hospital, they came and preached to you and you got born again. And then you said, Jesus, if you can just heal me. So when you are reading your testimony, you think you are preaching the gospel. You are not preaching anything. Your testimony is not the gospel. Jesus has his own testimony. You see, all Jesus is doing is to still woo your heart to arrive at asking one clear question. Why exactly is God looking for me? Every man that will sit on the throne must have answered that question. Now, you see, if Jesus has done all of that for you before you ask the question, it's not really by faith. You are supposed to ask that question because you have had faith. And faith has come to your heart. And now you are strengthened to journey by faith to the unknown. You can believe God that even if I don't have a husband, even if I never have a child, even if I never ride a car, even if I never build a house, I can sit on the throne. And that is enough for me. And that is enough for me. Until a man begins to learn and follow God with the intent, the same intent God has in his heart, the man will not pay attention to little things that look negligible in the gospel. One of those little things that look negligible is meekness. It looks like, what is it again? We are overbeating it. We are stretching it too much. No, we are not stretching it too much. If it is not a requirement, they will not mention it at all. Are you with me, brethren? If it's not what? They will not. So a man begins to learn righteousness in the holy place. Righteousness is God's expectation and how God does things. Are you with me? God's expectation and how God does things. Did you get that? A man begins to learn righteousness. What becomes of the man? The man realizes at a point, righteousness begins to expect, make expectations
from you for humility, for lowliness of heart. Humility and what? Lowliness of heart. There are demands that righteousness make of a man. And the man joyfully return, respond well, positively. Why? Because he's looking at what is at stake. So I began this morning by talking to us about the throne. What is at stake, sir, is the throne. The place where cherubims are looking at and cannot go. The place that one of them desired and they said it is an inordinate desire. They cast him out. It's the place they want to bring us to. But you can't go there if they don't put one of the ingredients they must add inside your seed. It's called meekness. And in fact, that is the real thing that makes you a seed. Are you aware that it's not every grain of seed, of corn, that is returned back to the earth? Because except a grain of corn fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. Are you aware it's not that every grain of corn that falls back to the earth?
Yes, sir.
You have eaten several this year alone. You have eaten many corns. So you that have chosen, they have chosen to fall back to the ground and die. They have to put you through a process to ensure that you will germinate. No, my burden is to transfer the burden to you. That is my burden. It's not every grain of corn that falls back to the ground and dies. Many are eating for food. It's not every believer, as harsh as that may sound, that can get to the throne. Take my word for it. Now I'll explain to you. The way you come in and the manner of trade arranged around you will determine how far you can go. It's either they will pluck you all over and reposition you, reorientate you, and as it were, get you born again afresh, give you their vision, and you buy into it. You will not sit on the throne. So you realize that the people that will really sit on the throne, it's not just all the Tom, Dick, and Harry everywhere. No, 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 no. There have been many that do not fall to the ground again to die. So if they pick a grain and say, this one will fall to the ground and die, what do you think they will do to that one? They will take it, they will put it over the fireplace. Oh, you think it's easy? When they are cutting maize, they say, this one, I like this one, this one will plant next year. This one will plant next year. They will leave it there. Other ones, when they are cutting down the other maize, that one is saying, ah, cut me now. I'm dry, you know, cut me now. Hey, this farm owner doesn't want to cut me. The ones that they have cut, he doesn't even know what have happened to them. Yeah, because you think that everybody God gave car to, we get to the throne. Now, it's God that gave them the car. The other ones that they cut, the maize in the farm that is saying, oh, God, cut me now. Am I not mature enough? He turns to that one at the other end. Hey, they're not cut you. Ha. She kilo she wa now. She, why now? Then he's daydreaming about the ones that they have caught. Hey, only God know what they are doing now. Maybe one rich man has taken them now. Maybe they have used them to decorate one palace now. He doesn't even know what's about to befall it. Finally, they will now cut it down. After sun don't dry life, finish them. It's just wandering. So this is the way I came to the earth. And I did not become something. I didn't end up in the plate of a rich man. And like the children of Israel, we'll be crying. I didn't even become what somebody can eat. And just eat. And enjoy the pleasure of being chewed in somebody's mouth. Eh? Sure, I'm sure it's a pleasurable thing. Finally, they cut it. They have finally cut also. As they are packing it away, talking to that one beside it. Ha! They have cut you too. Ha! God, do. Oh no, hey, this kind God, miracle, Natal Jesus. He didn't know that they are taking him to the fireplace. They will go and hang it over the fireplace for the next 8 months. Fire will be beating it. Wonder. What are they doing? They are removing the rest of the water in it. Every iota of flesh, of self, they are removing it. They suck it dry. But one more thing that they have done is that they have preserved it from weevil. They have preserved its ability to give birth. It can fall to the ground and die and not remain alone and bear fruit. You see, but it has to go through the fireplace. So the training of God is so thorough
on us. Why is it so thorough? I'm trying to explain to us why no detail must be skipped. The training is so thorough because of the expectation of the throne. When they finally pick you and say, this one will sit on the throne. So every one of us are potentials for the throne. We have ability. We have what it takes. Only if we can just obey God and go obey him through, will we all sit on the throne. Every one of us. You couldn't have heard this message. You couldn't have been brought in to hear what we're saying. And you don't belong to the throne. No. It's not to make you proud that everybody cannot. Everybody, forget it. Everybody will not sit on the throne. Everybody is born again. Everybody will not sit on the throne. No, because. And that should make you know, place. That should make us place premium on our positioning. Where they have planted us now is not cheap. What we are hearing now, if you know what it took heaven to make it available for us, if you know what it took heaven, if you know, if we know what it cost heaven to get one Busui and put him through a terrible route and, as it were, put chains on his feet, bind for the cause of the gospel. That man, if he's traveling around the world as a, it's just the list of the things he do at his pedigree. Lecturing for many years, you just sit down and be dishing out eternal life constantly. Why shouldn't he be in Canada and doing some research with some scientists around some serious issues? Why not? Why would Reverend Kayode be hijacked like that? A whole human life, the kind of expression he wants, they don't want him to have it. Take him, reconfigure his mind, turn him. Hey, why? You now look at his life now. The America he wants to go when he was 25, they didn't allow him go until 50. Now, by the time he fly in the plane, now it's stressful for him. When he had all the pride and pomp of coming down from the plane and doing like this, they didn't allow him to have it. Let me just go and sell crude oil and make bastard money. They didn't agree. Okay, let me go to precious stones. They didn't agree. They said, the stone we want to make. Effect our precious stone. We want to turn you to precious stone. If we know what it cost heaven to make these words available to us, then we will appreciate that where we are sitting, so much was paid for it. I'm telling us, every one of us have ability to sit on the throne because of already the kind of words that have come to us. Meekness is that nature that must be found in a seed if the seed will not die in the soil. If the seed will not die in the soil. So you see the way they dealt with Moses. Interestingly, last week, I just came across somebody and the person was describing Moses. And the person said, how do you take a guy who had been trained 40 years in Egypt to possibly be a pharaoh? You take him into the wilderness and the guy comes back stammering. And you say, that is God's work. Like Moses came out stammering. And they were describing Moses later on as mighty in speech, in word. The guy we met at the burning bush was not mighty in words. The guy said, I know he wouldn't have been tall. God said, okay, Aaron will come into the picture. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Moses was learned. When you met that guy by the bush, the guy didn't seem like he was learned. In all the wisdom of Egypt. In all. But by the time God will use that wisdom. You know that Moses needed the learning of Egypt. But God re-engineered it. If he didn't have the... One of the learnings of Egypt was writing. Was what, brother? Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses had to be re-engineered, re-prompted to do that kind of job. What he learned was not meant for that kind of work. The mind that captured Genesis chapter 1, do you think that mind is dull? No. Have you read Genesis chapter 1? They took you, calm down. They took you and put you somewhere and say, experience Genesis chapter 1 as if you were there when it happened. Then you come out of Genesis chapter 1
and you capture day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. Hey. Hey. Fear Elohim. That brain is sharp, but they force her to purge the brain of some learning. Said what? I said what? They had to first purge the brain of some learning. There are some things that were in that brain that could clog his ability to retain information. Because when they school you, they also school death into your fiber. Oh, get it, get it, get it. I said, when the world schools us, the world also schools death into our fiber. They took 40 years to purge David and Moses of the death. That when, and you know, it's the death that gives you the pump. The guy standing there can still write. It's a skill. But he had lost the pump that writing can give in that day that he lived in. There's a royalty that the father you can write. Look at the time of Jesus. The time of Jesus, that many, many years later, civilization had broken out. The Greeks had broken into learning. And they were talking of the disciples as, how did they know letters having not learned? It was still a wow factor that they could read and write, having not gone to school. It was a wow factor. Because of the big deal, Paul was an asset because Paul could write. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, backdate 4,000 years. You don't understand. Backdate 2,000 years. Then you meet a Moses that could write. What pride. What gaze. The pomposity alone. When I look at you, you now know what they call the royalty of Egypt. When Moses walk on the street, everybody feel like, hey, hey. This, if like a god. So God had to tell him, I will make you a god to Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh was a god. Pharaoh was a god. They had to take away a certain fiber of death that came with the learning of Egypt. His brain had been sharpened. He can remember things. Yeah, part of natural learning was part of how his brain got away. God didn't touch his head. Chip! Receive retentive memory. No. It's part of the learning and exposure that exercise the brain. A farmer's brain and the person with a classroom can do the same thing. It is how the brain is prompted. You know, I'm using contemporary word. It's the way they prompt the brain. And they prompt brain from childhood. If you over-prompt it, you kill it. So tell you, don't put these children through some learning that is too heavy for them. A child that should be learning how to write 1 to 20. You make the child write 1 to 200. You kill certain things there. The child loses ability to learn. Love for learning and reading. You know what I'm trying to say? You over-prompt. So the brain can be prompted. Though you meet some people, maybe like say their brain not be prompt. But their brain can do other things. There's no way brain, you know, prompt for learning, no prompt. You know, everybody's brain can do something. So that is why you meet a carpenter and meet the carpenter. You meet mechanic, you meet another guy. Be like saying, I papa, I be mechanic. Maker, nine day their name. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because when you hold car, you know, say, your name is maker. Now the nick, he leave for the other guys. In your car, you maker. So every brain can do something. So you meet Moses. And Moses can capture day one. So they took you. Follow me. They took you to Genesis chapter 1, day 1. And you saw the chaos and saw everything. And you came out and had the right words to describe and express it. The details of that description, you can't reproduce it in any other book. It's not like Yoruba philosophy. One person came from somewhere with sand and came and landed and poured sand and sand multiplied. When you hear that, you feel like, okay, Atibo. But you can't read the detail of Genesis chapter 1 and not feel like, who is this guy? He was not writing it in the spirit. It was not like he was speaking in tongue and writing something. He wrote it in the language of men. That was Moses. But when God had done reprompting Moses, Moses appeared like a dundee to an average man who was learned in that day. Yet, this guy already had the ingredient that can lead everybody. Important in that ingredient was that Moses was the meekest man on earth. I say meekness, sir. There's nothing you can do without it. God cannot use you. Daddy made a statement yesterday that shook me to my roots. He said, when we were ordained, referring to himself and other people, he said, what did we know? Only that our pastors saw something in God and had faith that we can carry it. Pastor James was sitting beside me. Pastor James also retorted, Daddy, you also said the same thing to us. He said, yes. When you were ordained, go back and tell what you are saying now. Count what you were saying then. Then he made a further statement. He said, do you know that there are some people who could be hearing us now that can preach more than all of us put together? Yet heaven has not picked them. He said something. He said, if meekness is not in your heart, and they look at your heart cannot have it. He said, they will never pick you. So you may not have it now, but your heart can have it. Jacob was not a good boy, like Esau also was not a good boy. But Jacob had an ability to journey with God. Jacob had ability to value what God values. Esau was also a bad boy, but his case was bad, was worse, because he was vain. No, Esau can cry. Have you seen the way Esau cried for Papa? Go back and read it. Esau can cry. Esau can cry. So when you meet some guys crying in church after a message, you can just feel me. And not say I can't even sit close to heaven. This is where this guy, they repent now. Me, I don't share grace, go out since. These are the people that came to church. Esau can cry for all of us. Have you gotten it? And Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with a great cry and exceeding bitter cry. And said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Read on. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and had taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? He did cry. For he had supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he had taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing? All those are where they talk. Now to still blackmail the papa, emotional blackmail. Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Read on. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and with wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Continue. And Esau said unto his father, he did cry, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Guy, you never cry. Esau can cry, but Esau heart bad. Now, man, you do this kind of blackmail for. God sees through the charade. Esau can cry for all of us. They cry, we never cry. Have you ever repented like this, Bratolu? On top one thing, remember, since when you've been born, you don't ever cry, repent. God, I'm sorry. I sinned against you, and you can't cry like this. They call bitter cry. You say you didn't repent. So it's not about who can repent. It's who has the ability to be meek. Who can we train to the point of meekness? Can train another person and he will not arrive at meekness. Yes. You saw Esau. We can train somebody and the person will ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's always learning. He's always in church. He's always writing. He's always following us. He'll go for evangelism, follow us. He'll go for money cry, follow us. He'll go for prayer, follow us. He'll do vigil, follow us. He's always there. But it's not making progress to truth. The way he was 20 years ago, the way he shouted on his neighbor 20 years ago, is the same way he shouts 20 years after. They must not touch his water. If you cross his chicken, you die today. That chicken, you will die with chicken. So some people cannot. But the father hopes and believes that you and I can be trained to meekness. If we cannot arrive there, he doesn't waste his words. He won't be saying them to us. One of the signs that shows a heart that can arrive at meekness is fear. Let me dwell there briefly, and then we go home. Have we been blessed a bit? What? Fear. Fear. When you see a heart that does not tremble, a heart that is not scared, it can yab anybody's yabbable. Fear that guy. It's not because of what he will do to you. It's because of how far he can go with God. Fear him. Cut his yard for him all. Because evil communication corrupts good manner. Evil communication corrupts good manner. So there's a heart that does not tremble, has not learned trembling. Are you aware that you have three children and there is one, there are two there, just two there, that before you say, ha, he, daddy, oh, daddy, ah, so daddy will not, ah, so mommy, ah, mommy will flog you, mommy, you see children, mommy will flog you, mommy will flog you, they are talking to themselves. I will report it to mommy, oh, don't do it, oh. Then you have another one that say, eh, will mommy eat somebody's head? Fear that boy. If God does not help you with that boy, there's nothing you can make out of that guy. Three children are communicating about their parents. And say, mommy, hey, mommy, hey, don't do it, mommy, mommy. And say, will mommy eat somebody? Hey, is it only flog? Mommy will flog me. That child, fear that child. Early in the morning, pray and call his name and lift him to his maker. You send this one to the earth under me. Save me from untoward generation. There's a way to pray for such children. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because that child does not have fear. There are some children that don't have fear, but you use rod to teach them fear. Some children, when you raise Cain like this, they adjust. After a while, you say, if I flop, if I hear, they don't adjust. You go hear another one where they, I will flog you. Now that time, they charge at the thing. I'll go sound you. Now that time, you won't carry on. Where another one? Before you say, I will flog you, you don't adjust. In fact, some children, when you just turn your eye one kind, they maintain. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. You know, they are not the same. No, as we are learning these things, we begin to value treasures. Hearts are treasures. God gave you children that you just say, sit down, you sit down. Come, come, come. Come, come, and it comes. Don't do that again. Say, yes, sir. Go and kneel down and thank God. Some alone and all of that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And he also make you to discern them early. And that blessed is one. Now tough hand, then go take train this begin. When they cry, and they are the ones that cry most. They are the ones that look most, they look fragile. If you flog them, they will cry and cry. Everybody will not, they will nearly make the father to be begging the child to come and say, why are you crying now? Is it that Cain for flogging you? Picking where you correct it, Cain. You cannot beg him. So Esau can cry for the heaven and earth. But Esau is not going anywhere. Esau is not going anywhere. He doesn't value anything that God values. He can sell the whole Israel for a porridge, a pot of food, a pot, plate, yet he can cry. May God deliver us. Fear. Fear. A heart should be afraid of what God can do. A heart should be scared. God can make you sleep and not wake up, and you are not scared. Hey! You know the problem, sir. We have slept and woken up many times that we are not even seeing the possibility of not waking up again. We have slept and woken up many times. If you are 20 years old, how many nights have you slept and woken up? Forget the one you slept in the day. How many nights have you slept and woken up? Calculate for me quickly. How many years is that? How many days? 7,300 and something nights that you have slept and woken up. 7,300 nights you have slept and woken up. Not the afternoon where you sleep. Oh. You know some people die for afternoon and let the afternoon sleep. Night one. So you have done that 7,000 times. 7,300 times that now you are used to it. So you feel okay. So a man has slept for 50 years and woken up. So he feels it's just okay. But that okay you are feeling is because you don't fear God. So he gives us some strength to do things, not knowing that God still judges people. A man should not walk on the earth without the fear of God. The knowledge of the terror of God, of what God can do, should be with a man while he's on earth. A man should have that knowledge. We are not trying to threaten anybody. You should know
that God can say today. A guy was thinking, he farmed, God blessed him, he had harvest. Eh? And he didn't even do it, he was thinking in his heart, my soul, I will, if I just rest, this rest, I will tear down this former store self. The kind of harvest what I get like this. This store can't contain the bags of rice, the tubers of yam, my soul, fudge it today, rest, enjoy. God, forget God, I will enjoy myself. He had not done it. Jesus said, that night God came to him and said, God required his soul from him. He said, thou fool. Because that attitude that runs without the knowledge of God actually means that you are a fool. There's no two words for it. Who called the guy a fool? Peter? Abina John? Now Jesus. Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? A man should walk on earth with the knowledge of what God can do. The fear of God is a major ingredient in a soul that will become anything with God. Let me repeat it. The fear of God is a major ingredient in a soul that will become anything with God. Do you know, sir, that you can get to an age, you know you can do and undo. If you choose to sleep with a woman outside, nothing will your wife go do. She go hear, she go cry, she go pack herself. But something makes you not get there. Because he that sleeps with an harlot is one with the harlot. He that commits adultery lacks understanding. So what have you done with all the understanding you have been gathering of God all these years? What have you done with it? For you to arrive there. So there's a place you get to, you know, that nobody can really do me anything. But yet, you will not do just anything. Every man gets there. All men, we all get there. Between 50 and 65, an average man wakes up with an understanding that he can actually do an understanding. He knows. Between 60 and 65, he knows. I mean, 50 and 65. He can want to do a thing, do a business, go and do it. Go and do it. Send the wife away. Want to pack out, get out of my house. He want to. He can do anything. A wise man has learned wisdom. He will not do it. Because you also bear in your mind, in your consciousness somewhere, that God can deal with unrighteousness. So a man that will become something with God, you know the man from the way his heart tremble at the word. He read Bible. They never preach give him. He just read them. Hey. Jesus can call somebody thou fool. The same Jesus that said you should not call anybody fool. Somebody did something. He said thou fool. Hey. So there's a thing I must not do. I am only a fool to do it. Who did they say has said in his heart there's no God? So there are things a man does. His name is clear. A fool. And what you do to a fool is not join words with a fool, lest you also become like him. It's very clear. It's very clear. Just they give him food until the day he dies, because he's a fool. It's very clear. No, we'll read. Proverb is one of the things that is on special reading. So you hear so much about a fool, and you know how to deal with a fool. Brotherhood, something that is don't put water. He's not a fool. He's a fool when he arrives and there's no God and behaves like there is no God. He's a fool to trim like that. Give him food until the day God chooses to take him out of this world. There's a way to handle them. There's a level of investment you don't put on a fool. Yes. And we must be wise and we must be very, very sensitive and dispassionate about those blackmails. There's a level of investment you don't put on a fool because it's not going anywhere. He has arrived at where Bible calls people fool. He doesn't know. He doesn't agree that there's God. He behaves like there's no God. So put him there and treat him like that. May God give us wisdom. Our heart is meant to journey. And the desire of this season is that in our journey, we will arrive at a place called meekness. The righteousness will train us to a place where we are humble, we are broken, we are lowly. That righteousness will train us to a place where we have fear of God. And it is a consciousness we carry about. Pastor James gave an illustration. close on that note
yesterday.
He said you had an injury and you are covering this injury with your cloth. Nobody knows that there's a bandage here. But as soon as you walk among people, everybody wants to grab you here. By the time they grab you once, twice, what do you start doing? You start walking like this. So you shake them and then you do like this. Why? You are conscious that you are wounded somewhere. You don't put forward your wounded side for you to be bruised. Am I right? It puts the pain, puts a consciousness inside you. Say so. The knowledge of the fear of God should be a consciousness that we carry about. God can deal with people. For Judas to follow Jesus for 3.5 years, and they said his bishopric, let another take. The guy has chosen his own reward. What is his reward? How many pence then sell Jesus? How many shekels of silver? 30 pieces of silver. Is the reward of a man after 30.5 years? Is it what? But you don't know what a vain soul is before the throne. When a soul is vain, they can't commit treasure to a fool. If you give him, the treasure will kill him. So they better not. Maybe he can meet mercy tomorrow. We are praying this afternoon that the Lord will deliver us from folly. There's always a folly with which a man is born. That before our days on earth are gone, we would have been rid from it. Can you pray that prayer as we close this morning?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.